Hi, and welcome to everyone to the Interactive Church Wednesday Testimony Meeting, a Christian Science teleconference hosted by csdirectory.com. We are delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis to overform the superstitious nature of this April Fool's Day with awakened consciousness. For those with a computer, the web address is csinteractivechurch.org. Within the turquoise box, click on the first link, which provides the order of service and links to the words of the hymns and other information. During the meeting, we will mute everyone's phone to help eliminate background noises, thereby enabling a clearer connection. Later in the meeting, if you'd like to share a testimony, simply press star 2 and your phone will be unmuted. Only the readings portion of this meeting will be recorded, so that individuals around the world may have the opportunity to listen at their convenience. I will be reading from the King James Version of the Bible, so as not to interrupt the flow of text during the service. The chosen verses are from the books of Joshua, Matthew, Psalms, Acts, Daniel, Genesis, Micah, St. John, 1 Corinthians, Philippians, and Isaiah, with correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Before we begin, I'd like to set the tone with the following from 1 John and Science and Health's 8th chapter, Footsteps of Truth. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of Life, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ's Christianity is the chain of scientific being, reappearing in all ages, maintaining its obvious correspondence with the Scriptures, and uniting all periods in the design of God. Let's begin our service with hymn number 32. This beautiful poem was written by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of the divine laws of life, truth, and love, which she named Christian Science. I will read this poem in its entirety before we join in song, and a reminder that the link to the words of this hymn are on the Order of Service webpage. Hymn number 32. Brood o'er us with thy sheltering wing, neath which our spirits blend, like brother birds that soar and sing, and on the same branch bend. The arrow that doth wound the dove darts not from those who watch in love. If thou the bending reed wouldst break by thought or word unkind, pray that his spirit you partake, who loved and healed mankind. Seek holy thoughts and heavenly strain that make men one, in love remain. Learn, too, that wisdom's rod is given for faith to kiss and know, that greetings glorious from high heaven, whence joys supernal flow, come from that love divinely near, which chastens pride and earth-born fear through God, who gave that word of might, which swelled creation's lay. Let there be light, and there was light. What chased the clouds away? 'Twas love whose finger traced aloud a bow of promise on the cloud. Thou too, whose power our hope we give, free us from human strife. Fed by thy love divine we live, for love alone is life, and life, most sweet as heart to heart, speaks kindly when we meet and part. Hymn number 32. Again, welcome to this healing service at csinteractivechurch.org. The topic of the readings for this Wednesday meeting, to overform the superstitious nature of April Fool's Day with awakened consciousness is, awake, O foolish heart, to recognize the isness of your own divinity as divine love's truth of its conscious self in the forever now. The Holy Bible. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions in his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and behold, another beast, a second like a bear. And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it was diverse from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued, and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and brought near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was so diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had 2 horns, And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beasts might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will, and became great. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision, and sought for the meaning, then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, began swiftly, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. Now, why dost thou cry out loud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Is Christ divided? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Be not deceived. Awake to righteousness. For there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Then Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoso therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. And ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Is not the whole land before thee? Lift up thou thine eyes, and look from where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for ever. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white people ready to harvest. Therefore, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Science and Health. The science of being, in which all is divine mind, or God and his idea, would be clearer in this age, but for the belief that matter is the medium of man, or that man can enter his own embodied thought, bind himself with his own beliefs, and then call his bonds material, and name them divine law. Must we not then consider the so-called law of matter, a canon, more honored in the breach than the observance? When we endow matter with vague spiritual power, that is, when we do so in our theories, for of course we cannot really endow matter with what it does not and cannot possess, we disown the Almighty. For such theories lead to one of two things. They either presuppose the self-evolution and self-government of matter, or else they assume that matter is the product of spirit. To seize the first horn of this dilemma and consider matter as a power in and of itself is to leave the Creator out of his own universe, while to grasp the other horn of the dilemma and regard God as the creator of matter is not only to make him responsible for all disasters, physical and moral, but to announce him as their source, thereby making him guilty of maintaining perpetual misrule in the form and under the name of natural law. Who that has felt the perilous beliefs in life, substance, and intelligence separated from God can say that there is no error of belief? Knowing the claim of animal magnetism, that all evil combines in the belief of life, substance, and intelligence in matter, electricity, animal nature, and organic life. Who will deny that these are the errors which truth must and will annihilate? The only fact concerning any material concept is that it is neither scientific nor eternal, but subject to change and dissolution. Human thoughts have their degrees of comparison. Some thoughts are better than others. A belief in truth is better than a belief in error. But no mortal testimony is founded on the divine rock. Mortal testimony can be shaken. Until belief becomes faith, and faith becomes spiritual understanding, human thought has little relation to the actual or divine. A mortal belief fulfills its own conditions. Let what false belief utters, now and forever, fall into oblivion, unknelled, uncoffined, and unknown. According to our statute, material law is a liar, who cannot bear witness against mortal man, neither can fear arrest mortal man, nor can disease cast him into prison. What is this supposed power which opposes itself to God? What is it that binds man with iron shackles to sin, sickness, and death? Time, mortal measurements, limits in which are summed up all human acts, thoughts, beliefs, opinions, knowledge, matter, error, that which begins before and continues after what is termed death, until the mortal disappears and spiritual perfection appears. Man-made doctrines are waning. They have not waxed strong in times of trouble. Devoid of the Christ power, how can they illustrate the doctrines of Christ or the miracles of grace? The true Logos is demonstrably Christian Science, the natural law of harmony which overcomes discord. Not because this science is supernatural or preternatural, nor because it is an infraction of divine law, but because it is the immutable law of God, good. Jesus said, I knew that thou hearest me always. And he raised Lazarus from the dead, stilled the tempest, healed the sick, walked on the water. There is divine authority for believing in the superiority of spiritual power over material resistance. This healing power of truth must have been far anterior to the period in which Jesus lived. It is as ancient as the Ancient of Days. It lives through all life and extends throughout all space. It is the still small voice of truth uttering itself. We are either turning away from this utterance, or we are listening to it and going up higher. Willingness to become as a little child and to leave the old for the new renders thought receptive of the advanced idea. Gladness to leave the false landmarks and joy to see them disappear, this disposition helps to precipitate the ultimate harmony. The footsteps of thought, rising above material standpoints, are slow and portend a long night to the traveler. But the angels of his presence, the spiritual intuitions that tell us when the night is far spent, the day is at hand, are our guardians in the gloom. The thunder of Sinai and the Sermon on the Mount are pursuing and will overtake the ages, rebuking in their course all error, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven on earth. Truth is revealed. It needs only to be practiced. What can improve God's work? The divine science of man is woven into one web of consistency without seam or rent. Mere speculation or superstition appropriates no part of the divine vesture, while inspiration restores every part of the Christly garment of righteousness. But the same mind which was also in Christ Jesus must always accompany the letter of science in order to confirm and repeat the ancient demonstrations of prophets and apostles. That those wonders are not more commonly repeated today arises not so much from lack of desire as from lack of spiritual growth. Truth has no consciousness of error. Love has no sense of hatred. Life has no partnership with death. Truth, life, and love are a law of annihilation to everything unlike themselves, because they declare nothing except God. The Gabriel of his presence has no contests. To infinite, ever-present love, all is love, and there is no error, no sin, sickness, nor death. The beast and the false prophets are lust and hypocrisy. These wolves in sheep's clothing are detected and killed by innocence, the Lamb of Love. Divine science shows how the lamb slays the wolf. Innocence and truth overcome guilt and error. Ever since the foundation of the world, ever since error would establish material belief, evil has tried to slay the lamb. But science is able to destroy this lie called evil. For victory over a single sin, we give thanks and magnify the Lord of hosts. What shall we say of the mighty conquest over all sin? A louder song, sweeter than has ever before reached high heaven, now rises clearer and nearer to the great heart of Christ. For the accuser is not there, and love sends forth her primal and everlasting strain. We must receive this divine principle in the understanding and live it in daily life. And unless we so do, we can no more demonstrate science than we can teach and illustrate geometry by calling a curve a straight line or a straight line a sphere. In this divinely united spiritual consciousness, there is no impediment to eternal bliss, to the perfectibility of God's creation. This concludes the readings.